The title of my talk is YANK, Enabling Green Data Centers to Pull the Plug. I'm Rahul Singh. This is work in collaboration with my advisor, Professor Prashant Shenoy, Professor David Irwin from UMass Amherst, and K.K. Ramakrishnan from AT&T Research. So data centers today are being used to host a wide variety of applications. Modern data centers are designed to be highly available. For instance, take the example of the power delivery infrastructure. In order to ensure that there are no power outages, data centers employ a highly redundant power delivery infrastructure comprising of high-capacity UPSs, backup diesel generators, and connection to multiple grids. Now, as a result of this highly reliable power supply, applications assume that the servers in these data centers are what we can call stable servers. That is, these servers are assumed to be always available and always on. However, providing this high level of availability can be very expensive for the data center administrators. So what data centers might also do is that they might try to reduce the cost of their infrastructure by reducing the reliability of this infrastructure and relaxing the strict availability assumption. So in this alternative approach, data centers relax the strict availability and reliability assumption on the hardware and compensate for it in software by designing low-cost, high-availability techniques. Now, in modern data centers, there are multiple scenarios where the servers are unlike conventional stable servers and their availability is unpredictable. For example, consider the case of spot instances in the Amazon EC2 compute cloud. Spot instances are compute instances that are very cheap, but they are also very unreliable, and they can be taken away from the user at any point in time. The price of these spot instances fluctuates over time, as shown in the first figure, and when the price exceeds the price that the user is willing to pay, these instances are terminated. Similarly, consider the case of some data centers that might not be running mission-critical applications, and in order to reduce costs, they might decide not to use backup diesel generators. So in this case, in the case of power outages, the servers will be terminated. Consider a third scenario of green data centers that use on-site renewable sources like solar and wind to power a fraction of their servers. The availability of these renewable power sources varies over time, as shown in this second figure. And in the case of long-term shortages in the renewable power production, the servers will have to be terminated. So to capture these kind of scenarios, we introduce a new abstraction, which we call transient servers. And transient servers are different from conventional stable servers in the sense that they are unreliable and they have an unpredictable availability. So they can come up and go down in an unpredictable fashion based on some external factors. However, unlike failures, the key characteristic of transient servers is that they receive a prior notification or a warning signal before they terminate. And the time between when the warning signal is received and when the server actually terminates is what we will call the warning time. The warning time can be zero or it can be in the order of a few seconds. For example, consider the previous examples that I told you about. In the case of spot instances, before the spot instance terminates, it receives a SIGTERM signal, and this signal is typically received 1 minute in advance of when the spot instance actually terminates. So in this case, the warning time is typically 1 minute. Consider the second example. In the case of power outages in data centers with no diesel backup generators, the UPSs built inside racks provide a warning, and they provide typically a time of a few minutes before the server goes down in the case of these power outages. Consider the third case of green data centers, in which case they employ UPSs to hide short-term fluctuations in renewable power generation. And in the case of long-term shortfalls in renewable power, these UPSs might provide some warning before the server actually terminates. So the question that arises is that if we have these data centers that have this mix of stable and transient servers, we need to rethink the design of applications in order to utilize this mix of transient and stable. So the high-level objective of YANK is to allow the data centers to maintain application availability while also being able to use these transient servers in a transparent manner. So in this direction, we first introduce the transient server abstraction. We next design YANK, which provides a generic system support for transient servers. We then apply YANK to the green data center scenario. So the next question that arises is that how do we provide support for these transient servers so that the applications can use these transient servers? Now, there are two approaches that one can use to provide support for these transient servers. The first approach is that we modify each application individually. Now, this might be easy for applications like Hadoop and MapReduce, which are already built keeping into mind failures of the underlying hardware, and they have their own checkpointing mechanisms. So if the transient server fails, they can be restarted from the last checkpointed state on a stable server. However, for applications that are not built keeping into mind failures and that cannot sustain any state loss, it might be difficult to modify these applications in order to use transient servers. Examples of such applications are interactive web applications. So the second approach which one can use to provide support for these transient servers is to provide a generic system support that all applications can use without any modification. And Yang takes the second approach. To illustrate how Yang provides this generic system support for transient servers, let us consider we have a transient server which is virtualized, and there are virtual machines running on top of it, which we will call transient VMs or transient instances, and there are applications running inside these VMs. So when the warning is received, in order to ensure that the application remains available and that no state is lost, we need to move the state of these virtual machines over to a stable server. And we need to do this within the warning time to ensure application availability and ensure no state is lost. Now, given this objective, there are two existing approaches that one can use. The first approach is that we live migrate the virtual machine over to a stable server when the warning is received. Live migration, however, typically takes tens of seconds. So for warning times less than this, we will not be able to use this approach. However, the overheads associated with live migration are very minimal. The other approach that one can use is to have a high availability kind of a solution, where for every transient VM, we have a backup VM running on a stable server, and these two VMs are running in perfect lockstep, perfectly synchronized with each other. So as soon as the transient server dies, the transient VM can seamlessly fail over to its backup. Many systems provide this support, including VMware and also Remus built inside Xen. Now, this system, this approach can support warning times of even 0 seconds because this supports instantaneous failover. However, the overheads associated are really high because data needs to be constantly transferred from the transient VM to its backup. Also, the backup virtual machine consumes almost equal resources as the transient VM. So we can consider these two approaches as occupying two ends of a spectrum. On one end, we have live migration, which only works for high warning times, but which has very minimal overheads. On the other hand, we have high availability, which can support very low warning times, but which has very high overheads. Yank, however, is a general transiency mechanism that is able to support warning times anywhere in this spectrum, and it is also able to adapt its overheads based on any given warning time. Specifically, when the warning time is very low, Yank devolves to a high availability kind of a solution, and when the warning time is very high, it starts behaving like a live migration kind of approach. So let me now give an overview of Yank's high-level design. Yank assumes that there is a mixture of stable and transient servers in the data center. On the transient server, we have a transient virtual machine running, and there is this component called the snapshot manager, which constantly tracks the dirty memory pages and disk blocks of the transient virtual machine, and it also intelligently sends the dirty state over to a backup server to ensure that no state is lost in the event of the termination of the transient server after a warning. So this backup server receives the dirty state of the transient virtual machine, first of all in its in-memory queue, and then writes them out to disk and memory snapshots that are maintained on file. This backup server is multiplexed. It can receive updates from multiple transient virtual machines. Yank also includes a service that provides a warning signal to the transient server, for example, by looking at the current state of charge of the UPS. And once the warning is received, the residual dirty state that is present at the transient server is flushed to the backup server. Now, Yank finds a stable server that has sufficient extra resources to accommodate this transient virtual machine. And once the warning is received, the dirty state of the virtual machine present in the form of snapshots at the backup server is finally sent to the stable server, where the restoration service restores this virtual machine from these snapshots. And finally, when the transient server comes back up again, the virtual machine is moved over to the transient server using a normal live migration. So Snapshot Manager is the component that runs on every transient server, and it tracks the dirty memory pages and disk blocks that are being dirtied by the virtual machine. Now, within the warning time, only a limited amount of dirty state can be sent from the transient server to the backup server. So to ensure that no dirty state is lost, the snapshot manager only needs to ensure that the total amount of dirty state remains within this threshold determined by the maximum data that can be sent within the warning time. So the snapshot manager constantly tracks these dirty pages, and when the number of dirty pages exceeds this upper threshold determined by the data that can be sent within the warning time, it sends the excess data over to the backup server. Now, every time this upper threshold is reached, there is a small pause during which the snapshot manager buffers any outgoing network packets. It waits for acknowledgement from the backup server, and finally, when the acknowledgement is received, it releases the buffered network packets. Now, to eliminate even this small pause, we introduce a second threshold, which is lower than the upper threshold, and once this lower threshold is hit, the snapshot manager starts to asynchronously and proactively send dirty pages without any buffering and without any pause. Now, since we are sending data earlier, there is lesser chances of pause, because of which the transient virtual machine becomes more responsive. Now, the backup engine receives this dirty state that is being regularly sent by the snapshot manager, and it uses in-memory queues for every transient virtual machine to receive these updates before writing them out to disk and memory snapshots that are maintained on disk. Now, writing these updates in its in-memory queues first allows the backup engine to send the acknowledgments at a much faster rate without waiting for the disk writes to finish. Also, this backup engine is highly multiplexed. It receives updates from multiple transient virtual machines, and this allows Yank to reduce the extra hardware costs that are required for the system to work. Now, once the warning is received, the residual dirty state that is present at the transient server is sent to the backup server. The backup server then takes the in-memory queue that is present for this transient virtual machine, and it also takes the disk and memory snapshots that are present, and it sends them in parallel to the stable server. At the stable server, the restoration service applies the in-memory queue to the disk and memory snapshots to achieve a consistent snapshot of the virtual machine, and then uses the hypervisor's restoration command to restore this virtual machine back onto the stable server. So Yank can be applied in many general scenarios wherever transiency arises. However, in this paper, we evaluated Yank in a green data center scenario. So let me describe the design of the green data center that we assume for Yank. We assume that there are two power sources in the data center: the electric grid, which is reliable, and on-site renewables like solar and wind, whose availability is intermittent. And we also assume two different kinds of servers. There are stable servers, which are either only connected to the electric grid, or they can be switched to the electric grid from renewables when renewable power production falls short. So in this sense, stable servers are always on and always available. The other kind of servers is transient servers, which are only connected to on-site renewables. Therefore, in the case of long-term shortages in the production of renewables, these transient servers are shut down. However, to hide short-term fluctuations in power, they have a small UPS, and this UPS provides with some warning in the term whenever there is a long-term outage in terms of the on-site renewables. Now, this restriction of not switching all the servers from on-site renewables to the grid energy when renewables fall short arises if the data center is trying to cap its peak power draw from the grid to cut its electric bill. We built a prototype for experimenting and evaluating with Yank. The snapshot manager is implemented by modifying Remus inside Xen. The backup engine and restoration services are user-level C codes. We evaluated Yank on a cluster of 20 blade servers, each comprising of 4 GB RAM and 2.13 GHz processor. We divided it into three different pools corresponding to transient, stable, and backup servers. We experimented with multiple benchmark applications, and in these results, I'll show experiments results with TPCW, which emulates an online bookstore. To emulate renewable energy generation, we used solar and wind generation traces from the UMass deployment. So in this figure, I'm showing the data transferred from the transient server to the backup server. To conduct this experiment, we took a TPCW application running inside a transient virtual machine that was running on a transient server. This application was run for 15 minutes, at the end of which a warning was provided. So in this figure, I'm showing both the data transferred before the warning is sent and the data transferred after the warning is sent. Now, as we on the x-axis is the warning time in seconds, on the y-axis is the data transferred in megabytes. So as we can see, as the warning time increases, the amount of data transferred decreases drastically. In fact, at t equals 20, the amount of data transferred is reduced by 70 times compared to when the warning time is 5 seconds. This is because at 20 seconds, the warning time is large enough that the entire working set of the application is less than the amount of data that can be sent within this warning time. So Yank waits for sending the dirty state, waits for the warning signal to be received in order to send the dirty state. Now, we also measured the response time seen by the clients of the application, and this figure shows this average response time seen. On the x-axis, we have the warning time in seconds. On the y-axis, we have the response time in milliseconds. Once again, as the warning time increases, the response time decreases. Specifically, at warning time 0, the response time is very high because at this stage, Yank behaves like a high availability solution. But even a 5-second response time is sufficient to 5-second warning time, is sufficient to bring down the response time by 20 times. We also evaluated how many transient servers can a single backup server accommodate. And we scaled up the number of transient servers, each running TPCW. And we observed that even when 15 transient virtual machines are being backed up on a single backup server, half of the memory at the backup server is free. So even with a simple 4GB backup server, we have been able to achieve multiplexing in the order of 1:15. And we expect that even more with more powerful backup servers, we can achieve higher multiplexing ratios in the order of tens or hundreds of transient VMs backing up to the same backup server. So we also conducted end-to-end experiments where we evaluated Yank in a green data center scenario, and we used solar and wind generation traces to emulate renewable power generation. The first figure shows the solar power harvested by a solar panel in the test bed, and this trace has been compressed into a two-hour duration of the experiment. This solar generation trace was fed into the servers in the transient pool of servers. We assume that each server in the pool consumes a constant 300 watts of power. We assume that each server has a UPS backup, which provides it with a backup of 10 seconds in the case of outages and shortages in the renewable power generation. So the warning time is considered to be 10 seconds. So we conducted an experiment where we took the TPCW application and ran it inside a virtual machine. And we observed the response time seen by the clients of the application. And this figure shows the response time that we observed on one of the servers in the pool during this two-hour duration of the experiment. We observed similar results on other servers in the pool. Now, as we can see, initially, when the renewable power generation is very small for spinning up a transient server, the virtual machine is running on a stable server. And when it rises up and it is sufficient to bring up a transient server is brought up, and the virtual machine runs on a transient server for a while. And finally, when the renewable power generation falls down again, a warning signal is provided, and Yank automatically switches the state of the virtual machine over to a stable server. So we can see from this experiment that Yank is able to hide the fluctuations of the underlying power infrastructure and the transiency caused by renewable power sources from the application running on top. To conclude, we introduced the notion of transient servers, which are servers that are unreliable, but that receive a warning prior to their termination. We saw that they arise in multiple scenarios. We described Yank, which is a system that provides a general support for these transient servers. We evaluated Yank and found out that the overheads of Yank vary on the warning time, and it is able to use warning times to achieve very low overheads. We evaluated Yank in a green data center scenario where we saw how Yank is able to hide fluctuations in renewable power from the applications. And as a part of ongoing work, we are currently evaluating Yank in an Amazon spot instance scenario. Thank you, and I'll now take some questions.
Rajesh Nishtala from Facebook. So I noticed that you try to move the entire application state. Can you comment as to why you want to move an entire application state rather than just tell an application that, hey, move to here, because the entire application state might not be relevant? Like, so how much of the state do you actually move, and how much of that do you foresee as not even being relevant to move over to a different VM?
Right. So, I mean, it's not that we're moving the entire state. We are only moving the state that has been written to, and that will be, as you said, that will be relevant for spinning up the virtual machine in the case of, when we need to restore it at the other state.
Well, I guess my question is not which particular state, but how much of the, what percentage of like of an application's memory, for example, is actually needed to reconstruct this, reconstruct a live instance, and why would you want to spend the entire time moving everything that just can be reconstructed in a matter of milliseconds if need be?
Right. So we conducted some experiments about like what are the active sets of various applications and how much state they actually write to, and we observed that that state is much smaller than the total memory that is allocated. So we used that observation of small working sets and the fact that they actually are writing to a very small state to achieve that multiplexing.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, Dave Anderson, Carnegie Mellon. So I'm trying to wrap my head around both the motivation but the actual uses for what you've done. So if I'm getting your scenario right, you still have a mains feed coming in from the grid.
Right.
Because you need to power something.
Right.
So what you're actually shrinking here is you're not really enabling me to be 100% green. You're kind of enabling 99 point something.
Right.
So what you've done is you've shrunk the size of the, you've shrunk the number of guaranteed megawatts or whatever your favorite unit is of capacity from the grid. So my first question is, what does that actually save me in, be it dollar or carbon or something like that, that I actually care about?
Right. So the first thing is that we allow the administrator to decide that fraction that he wants to run on the stable servers. I mean, let's say you want to cap your power within a certain limit, and that means that you can only run a certain number of servers on the grid. So basically, if you don't have any renewable available, you try to put all your workload only on that only small number of servers, and that might have a performance hit. But when renewable comes back, you might be able to shift your entire workload on renewables.
So I don't think that was what I asked. What I asked was, what does it save me to shrink my required grid capacity by 50%? Like, what in terms of dollars, you know, capital costs of the power infrastructure, overall lifetime carbon footprint of my data center, what am I actually saving by shrinking that by whatever percent I can shrink it by using your technique?
So the argument is the same for, the argument on using renewable power whenever it is available. So you basically, if you're using less of the grid, and you can, you know, first of all, for instance, you can take advantage of on-peak and off-peak pricing that many data center power providers have with the data centers. So for instance, if you can switch all your workload to renewables during an on-peak hour, that will save you the operational costs in terms of power. So that's an example of the savings that you can have in terms of dollar amount. Does that?
Maybe I'll bug you about it later.
Okay.
The second question, Michael, am I out of time?
Last question.
This is cute. So I guess the second question is, to assuage people like me who are going to pick on you about the grid aspects of this, what else can I do with this? Like, can I take these same techniques you've developed and use them to, say, guarantee that I can always migrate my servers to a different rack in under 5 seconds in order to support very fast maintenance switching windows? Like, it seems like there ought to be a bunch of cool things you can do from this basic property you provide that is bounded migration, guaranteed bounded migration time. So
yeah,
what are the cool ideas?
Right. You're absolutely right there. I mean, this is a general mechanism that provides you with relaxing the hard constraints of high availability, you know. I mean, usually they say that you have to instantaneously fail over. But this allows you a knob saying that, hey, I'll give you a window of 10 seconds or n seconds, and can you bring down the costs of, taking backups? So as so there are multiple scenarios, as you just pointed out. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks.
I'll thank the speaker again.